plate a potential nugget.
Let's dive into the book, Ravi. The one term that caught my attention, which I haven't really come across in any other piece of work on transitions, is this notion of punctuated equilibrium. Can you say more about what it is? And I think as I was reflecting on it, the question in my head was, how do we know there's an equilibrium on the other side, given what we're going through? So I'd be curious to maybe if you could just lay out what the term means and talk a little bit about how you see it.
Yeah, look, there's a dinosaur on the cover of the book, and people, you know, often say, what is that dinosaur doing on the cover? And that goes back to this question of punctuated equilibrium. So this is a term from natural history. And when you look at the sort of fossil record, essentially what you see is occasional periods of extreme change, which are often correlated with mass extinctions. And then things get stable again for a while. And then again, another period of extreme change. So that's why it's called punctuated equilibrium. Generally, they're long, stable periods. And then there's some shock, some event. And when this event happens, then a lot of sort of life struggles to adapt. And they become either marginalized or become extinct, like the dinosaur. And then, some other life forms which are able to adapt flourish and become more dominant. And going back to that same extinction during the Jurassic, the mammals became dominant. And so I say, look, that's a pretty good metaphor for what's going on right now. We've had about nearly 100 years of relative stability, certainly 75, 80 years of relative stability, and a rising tide of prosperity in many parts of the world. And now we are in a period of sudden and extreme change. And, you know, in the book, I say that the world will change more in this century than all of human history. And that's really the effect of compounding, you know. Mm-hmm. And this extreme change is driven by so many different forces, you know, the planet reacting to our misbehavior, you know, the crumbling planet, climate change, all that, and how we have to adapt to that. This technology and the way it is driving profound, profound change. There's also very, very new ideas about everything, about what is success, how we should organize ourselves. The ideas about whether India should remain a secular country or not. And so all over the world, there is ferment, okay? And so this is a period of extraordinary change, and most people are not designed or equipped to handle such change, which is why today, if you look around, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of bewilderment, there's mental health issues, depression. COVID is a superb example of punctuated equilibrium. A sudden shock which affects every human on the planet. And we're going to have many, many more of these types of events. So, so the whole central thesis of the book is the title of chapter one, Adapt or Perish, Adapt and Flourish. Okay. So if you can adapt, there's probably been no better time to be alive. Because there's just so much opportunity, so many possibilities and all that. But at the same time, if you're unable to adapt, you're saying, why is this happening? Why can't we just go back to the good old days? Why can't somebody rescue me and fix these things? Then the chances are it's not going to be too good.
I'm reminded of the conversation with Jennifer Gavi Berger, an executive coach, who's written about some of the mind traps we fall into and how they can let us down. She speaks about how evolution hasn't really prepared us for the complexity of the world around us. Back to what Ravi says, I think there's a huge opportunity if we are able to adapt our mindsets. The conversation with Jennifer Gavi Berger might give you some pointers around how the default wiring of our mind might come in the way of our ability to adapt in this period of extraordinary change. Thank you for listening.
Well, it makes so much sense, right? We've spent most of human history in spaces where the biggest threats, first of all, tended to be physical dangers, and second of all, tended to be from unknown or uncertain possibilities, right? And like if we saw a new plant, heard a new noise, met somebody from a new tribe. Like for most of human history, it was these sorts of things. And so the decisions we needed to make are like very straightforward decisions. Do I run? Do I fight? Do I hide? And our biology is set up to simplify, to cut out nuance, so that we can get to this question, run, fight, hide, as quickly as possible, and then be able to engage in that. But this is not a useful approach if the thing that you're dealing with is a very tricky issue in the boardroom, and your brain is still sort of preparing your body to run, fight, or hide. Like, these are not useful responses in the modern world. And it's particularly unhelpful for something that's hard for our minds to even get a handle on, like COVID-19, where there are so many moving parts and it's so nonlinear and it's so interacting. And none of these things are normal habits for the mind. And so we have to actually evolve ourselves very fast to grow new capacities, to have new habits, and also to be a little bit suspect of what we would think of as like obvious or the clear solution. Because in complexity, that's very likely to be your mind playing a trick on you.
Back to what Ravi says, I think there's a huge opportunity if we're able to adapt our mindsets. The conversation with Jennifer Gavi Berger might give you some pointers around how the default wiring of our mind might come in the way of our ability to adapt in this period of extraordinary change. Thank you for listening.